This year is followed by a rapid review. After the rapid review, there is the same daf from the previous cycle of Daf Yomi with a different ambience and different participants, which may interest you as a chazara or maybe actually the one you prefer hearing.
Today's daf is Masechet Avodah Zarah, daf Lamed Chet, and we are holding at the top of the daf the end of the very first line. Omer of Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. So anything that is edible without cooking, even if it would be cooked, so then there would be no problem of bishul akum. So in other words, let's say you have carrot. You cook carrots, but you can certainly eat carrot side. And even if it's something that mostly is eaten cooked, but perfectly edible uncooked, then we don't have a gezerah because of bishul akum. Now, why would this be? So remember that we had two pshatim yesterday and the whole issue over here. Rashi, for some reason, had introduced the idea of the problems of Dover Tummy. Whereas in the Mishnah, he had explained that it was one of the typical harchakot because of chatnut. Now, I think that here we're going to find a reason why. Because consider what it means. We thought that Rashi was talking about a Dover Tummy on any level, using a non-kosher pot and so on. If that's the issue, then obviously there can't be a difference between cooked carrots or anything else. You'll be using a non-kosher pot. So therefore, what Rashi means to say is only because of the kirva of eating with him. And once you eat with him, he'll already give you maybe slip in something that isn't kosher completely. Not because of the pots. You know that the pot is kosher. Now,
association.
Yeah, the general association, much less than chatnut, see? So if that's the case, then we would have to say that anything which is nechal kamot shehu chai is simply not chashev enough in terms of sitting down together and eating, that you're going to end up being used to being with him, that he would be able to give you a dover that wouldn't be kosher. Okay, that would work in according to Rashi shot over here. But look, and here I think is where it becomes clear. Besura matnu hachi. That's the way they said it over in Surah. In Pumbedita, what they said was Omer b'shmul barav yitzchak omerav koshe inu nechal al shulchan melachim. Anything, even if it isn't eaten raw, but it is something that is not eaten in a seuda chashuva. Lelafet boetapat. Now this is a question. Is it only things that are used in lafet boetapat, or even things that are used in lafet? In other words, something that wouldn't be eaten on its own even. But even in a Shulchan Malachim, they'll use it for a dip. They'll put it together with the bread.
So, no. Right,
yes, Her Majesty the Queen. So there, and only there, would it be usher because of Bishul Akum. But if it's not Oila, ain't bo mishum Bishul Akum, the difference between the two pshatim would be, ikim in ayun, let's say, dogim kitanim, where those kind of things, or arde, or daisa, arde is a type of mushroom according to the Matargim, and the daisa would be cereal. So those kind of things may very well be inyanim that need to be cooked, but they're not in Yonim that would be Ole al Shulchan Malachim. That's what we most learned. Some learn Daisa. Would be Nechal on Shulchan Malachim cereal. But it could be eaten without cooking. This is made out of grains. It could be raw. Okay. That would be the opposite approach. But note that it doesn't say things that would be Nechal, let's say, honey. In other words, things that, it's clear that we're talking about the same issues that we need before. Things that we would need to cook in order to eat it. That's definitely true. Here we're talking about, but even so, it wouldn't. It's an additional time. Bigger kula. Now, l'chor, the difference between the two is that Shulchan Melachim is Nogeh Chatnut, whereas Koshin Anech Al-Chai without Shulchan Melachim is not Nogeh Chatnut. In other words, if I want to say, if I would have started off with Pumbedita, then it may well be that Rashi would never have changed his diet. He's broadening the pshat. When we say Mishum Kirva, Kirva is two levels. Kirva ultimately is Mishum Chatnut, as we know. We saw that level of concern. But there's also a Kirva less than the actual Chatnut, which you'll sit down together as good buddies and have a simple meal. So what is considered to be that kind of meal, you see? The Svara for Shulchan Melachim is either, as the Rishonim, it's a Machlokas Rishonim exactly how to put it, whether it's the question of the invitee or the inviter. As the Rambam says, you're not going to invite someone for something that is chashev enough to complete the chatnut. You don't invite people unless you're giving them a nice su'udah. So then if it's not Oilah Shulchan Melachim, you're embarrassed to invite. But the other approach is that the person who's eating is not going to feel that makurav by having just stam a junk meal at your house, that he's going to end up with chatnut. But certainly there would still be the chashash of yakelin and davatamen. So it could well be that Rashi inserts here the lower level of kirva, which is included in the general rubric of chatnut. In other words, the kirva, chatnut is the ultimate kirva. So that there's also the other concern, and this way we allow for both lashonos, the sura lashon, which doesn't require halachot, shulchan malachim, and the pumbedita lashon. Lamaisa, it has to be able to have both. In other words, it needs the halacha lamaisa. It needs to be olal shulchan malachim, and it needs to be something that is actually requires cooking in order to eat b'derech lav. For it to be honest. Omer Rav Asi Omer Rav, dagim kitanim meluchim, ein behem mishum b'shul akum. If you start off, and we're going to see later on, that there's a machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, and other Amoraim, about whether maluach bidei akum is awesome. Assuming that the malicha itself would have been aser bidei akum. If you start off with dagim that are meluchim bidei Israel, and now the akum also cooks it. So he takes the dagim meluchim and makes now a dish utilizing, let's say, this herring. So then there would not be a problem of bishul akum in that case. In other words, we'd say that once it's maluach, the added value of the bishul is not considered to change it sufficiently that we should ask bishul bishul akum. Omer Rav Yosef. Nonetheless, im tzal'an ovei kochavim, somech Yisrael aleihem mishum eruvei tafshilim, that we still consider it to be something that is mevushal, and therefore kosher for an eruv, because you'll say, well, I mean, mamonimshach, if you're telling me that it's added value, and it's considered to be mevushal vis-a-vis the eruv, which requires bishul, an eruv tafshim, by definition, to be mevushal is an eruv tafshim. So if you're going to tell me that it's considered to be mevushal for an eruv tafshim, then why isn't it also because of bishul akum? That's what you would think. But the point is that since this is a derabban, the iser of bishul akum, and the Erev Tafshilin is the Rabbana. So we're saying it Lakula in two directions. So it's fascinating, even in the same thing. In other words, the food is mutter, despite the fact that the guy cooked it, because the cooking is not considered to be added value. But it's considered to be cooked in terms of Erev Tafshilin, despite the fact that it's not cooked in terms of Bishlag. Okay, that's a beautiful Kiddush. So you could be Semech in both directions, Lakula, on this thing. The Avdino of the Kechovim Kasada Arsena, Asru. Now, on the other hand, if the Goy now takes these fish, Kasada Arsena, which are smaller fish, Shumad Abdogi, so that itself is Necha Kamo Shulchai. He takes it now and he makes it a Kasada Arsena. What he does is he mixes it now in oil with the flour. And that was a very, very classic dish that everybody would dip into in Bavel. So then it would be considered to be usher because now you fried it. Isn't that obvious? No, it's not obvious at all. Because Ma'ad Tema Harsana Iker. You see, if the arsana itself, which are the actual murias, that is the Iker, and that is actually not considered to be usher because of Bishul Akum, since it's Nechal Chai. So that's not a problem. But the chiddush over here is that you would have thought that the flour maybe is used as a thickener, but that's not true. The taste comes from the frying of the flour in the oil with the fish flavor. And therefore, since the kimcha is the ikur, the kemach is not eaten raw. If the kemach isn't eaten raw, then there's a din of bishul akum. As a matter of fact, we can make a rule out of this, as some of the Rishonim do, that in any case where you have a mixture of things, some of which are shayach the bishul akum, and some of which are not shayach to bishul akum, then you go according to the ikur. So since over here the ikur is the kemach, we consider it to be shayach to bishul akum.
Ikur is like what would be there for
bracha? No, I think probably ikur over here. Ikur bracha, remember, when it comes to mezonos, is always ikur bracha. That wouldn't be a chiddush. Over here it's ikar in terms of the value of the food, how people look at it. What is it that they're enjoying the most?
Just a binder.
Yeah, it's just a binder. Even the gabi broch, it's not chashiv. I mean, there's levels above binder. Omer of Brun Amarav, Oved Kochavim, she tzite ta'ur ba'agam. Suppose an Oved Kochavim is clearing a meadow, and he clears it by firing it. So then, kolach hagavim shebagam agam asurim. You're not allowed to eat any of the fried locusts, the roasted locusts that were roasted because of the forest fire. Says the Gemara, well, I don't understand. What's the case? I mean, hegedom. He let me the lo yoda. Is the problem over here because once the locusts are burned, you cannot really know the difference between a kosher locust and an unkosher locust? So lo yoda haytahor vahaytameh, and therefore you can't eat any of the locusts. The Mefarshim explained that the chiddush over here would be even though lamais it's not muchzik. You never saw non-kosher locusts around this part. All this stuff was kosher, okay, but you have to be able to identify it, and that's the chiddush. What would it have to do with a goy? It's irrelevant. And if a Jew burned it, then it's different. Then you don't have to be accurate. My Ari of Eko Chavi, Afilo Yisrael Nami. Ela must be Mishum Bishule Akum. Because since he lit the fire to clear the clearing, so therefore it's considered to be he roasted them. That's not true. Ki I gav nami aser. Is it considered to be Bishul Akum in a case where there was no intent for cooking? Over here, there was no intent for cooking. He's clearing. Because over there, we know we have a case like that. The case is Omer of Kanabarami, Omer of Pedat, Omer Abi Ochanan, Hayovikov Vim de Chorich Resha. You know, but you used to take, or you still do it, you take a flame, and you use it to burn off the feathers on a bird or the hair on an animal head. Now, Lamaisa, the concern over there is to clean it. Still going to cook it. But in point of fact, the area that's exposed to the heat, especially thin areas like the ears or something, would get actually edible from that heat. It's mutter to eat it. Even from the tips of the ears, which are easily cooked. Why? Because his intent wasn't to cook. His intent was to clean. So amala aburei sear kamechavim. The only thing the Akum is concerned with over there is to clear off the hair.
Before cooking.
Yeah, I don't know whatever he was going to do with it. The point is, he's not interested in cooking. This wasn't an effort to cook. So achinami legiluyeh kamechavim. Over here, he's not interested in cooking chagavim. He's interested in clearing. So why would it be considered to be bishul Akum? So it seems to me, no matter how you look at it, it doesn't make any sense. If it's a problem of identification of species, the Akum is irrelevant. If it's a problem of bishul Akum, there was no intent for bishul. So now, what's the halacha? Says the Gemara that the din is that actually, la'olam, it's a problem of identification of species. The only reason that we mentioned the Akum was because this was an actual case. It wasn't a theoretical topic. A case came in which, I mean, no self-respecting Jew would use fire to clear a clearing. I mean, for heaven's sakes, what about ecology? But, you know, some redneck could have done it. Okay, the case was an Akum did it. So, ma'aseh shaya bo'aviko chavim haya. Gufa. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. So, of course, we had a long series of people who quoted Rabbi Yochanan, but in the end it was Rabbi Yochanan who said that the Ovid Kochavim, who was Chorich Reisha, you're allowed to eat even from the soft tissues of the ears, even though they were cooked by the effort to remove the hair from the head. Sinji. Then I would say that in a case where a goy throws in a piece of wood into a tanur in order to dry out the wood, and a Jew had initially put a pumpkin into the tanur, hoping that the next time somebody heats up the tanur anyway, his pumpkin will get cooked. He wasn't going to heat up a whole tanur just for a pumpkin. So he had put in the pumpkin before. If he put in the pumpkin afterwards, obviously it's kosher. You're allowed to use a fire that a goy lit if you put on the pot. But over here, the pumpkin was sitting there waiting to be cooked. The goy comes along and has no interest in your pumpkin, and neither does he have any interest in cooking. All he wants to do is dry out some wood for his fireplace. So according to that, it would be mutter to eat it. Shaperdam. Isn't that obvious? Pshita. Ma de tema levishule kamechavein. Come. I might have thought that the idea over here is also called bishul, because when you're heating the piece of wood, it's going to end up also giving off heat, and it starts to cook away, so to speak, and that's the equivalent of cooking. That's not called cooking. It's called essentially making it harder in order to be able to. Yeah, shiruri means literally harder, but the purpose is to make it dry, in which case called shiruri mana, and that's not called bishul. A Jew starts a barbecue, and he puts meat on the barbecue, and now he has to go out to daven. He can do that, l'chatchila, call a goy to be turning over the pieces on the barbecue, and it would be mutter. Well, I mean, what's the case? I mean, you're telling me it would have cooked anyway, even though the goy wouldn't have done anything? I mean, so then obviously it's kosher. What do you do? We said there needs to be added value in his cooking. El alav must be that the case is that if he hadn't turned over the meat on the barbecue, it wouldn't have cooked. So then why is it butter? Why isn't that bishalaka? Because you never cooked it. Lotzricha. The point over here is, it would have cooked. I mean, but who's interested in waiting 3 hours for a barbecue? So if you hadn't turned it over, it would have cooked in 2 hours, let's say. And now that he turns it over, it's going to cook in 1 hour. So mal de temek ruve bishulim milti. I might have thought that if I make it cook now faster, that's also added value of the bishulako. And we view that as his bishul. Kamash balan, but that's not considered to be added value. Really? I thought Reb Asi, Omer Reb Yochanan Paskin, that koshu kemachal ben drusoi, ein bo mishum bishulak. If you had it already cooked to the point where it's edible, kemachal ben drusoi, bachal ben drusoi was the name, it was the Robin Hood, a famous Ghana, famous listin. So if Robin Hood could eat it, and Rashi elsewhere says that's shlish bishulay. So if Robin Hood could eat it, then it's considered to be mavush. Less than that, it's bichlal not mavush. And over here, the Tana didn't say it had to be mavushal. He said, you put it down on the barbecue. It wasn't mavushal at all. So if it wasn't mavushal at all, that means that anything that the guy does is now cooking. So what good is it to say that it's kruve milta, it's lav milta? This is worse than kruve. Otherwise, you should have had to say if he cooked it first, and then you're carve only the finish of the bishul. But like this, we should view it as being actual bishul. Ha'eno kemachal ben drutzai. Yesh bo mishum bishul achav. Entirely different issues. There we're talking about where you removed the meat from the barbecue. The meat's in the fridge. You had cooked it the day before, kemachal ben drutzai. Now you make a barbecue. The goy makes the barbecue from the beginning to the end. Okay, but it was already cooked from before. If it wasn't already cooked from before, then this is a new cooking. The case that we're talking about is you left it on the barbecue. So but there it doesn't need to be cooked. You started the process. Starting the process is enough. You're telling me, but I mean, the guy turns it over. So what? Ruve is la milti. Because my original cooking on the barbecue is still ongoing. If it's ongoing, it doesn't have to be that I did it kamakab and drusai. I just need to start it. It's over there. I had taken it off and I put it into the fridge. So we're completely bevata what you did originally. So if what you did originally was cooked, fine. Then it's cooked. We don't double cook and say that it's usher because he added cooking. Considered to be cooked. So that's the difference in the case. Let's see that inside. Hatam over there, we say, machal ben drusoi, it's kagon de otve besilta. You took it out and put it in the fridge or in the sal. Yeah, same thing. And then the guy takes it out of the fridge, v'shakli over kirchov, and he puts it back on into the oven or on the barbecue. That's the difference. Otvi b'tanur. Tanya nami achi. And look, it's clear from the Braita. Meniach Yisrael basar, agabe gechalim, l'chatchila. Put your meat on a barbecue. And a guy can come and be mahapech bo until you get back from davening. Achi avo Yisrael mi beta knesset, mi beta bidrash. It's l'chatchila. Ve'eno choshesh. By the way, it says ve'eno choshesh. Means ve'eno choshesh. Mishum bishalak doesn't mean you don't have to worry about chilufe, things like that. I mean, it means there's hashkocha. There's hashkocha in terms of any problem of the meat. We're going to get to that. A woman can put a pot on top of the cooking stove and call her maid, bat ovedet kochavim, umegisa, and she could have the maid stir until she gets back for the beta merchatz, for the beta knesset. And there's no chashash, even l'chatchila over there. There's no chashash. By the way, we mentioned yesterday, there's some shittas who hold that if it's your own maid, there's no chashash. We talked about b'di'avad in the Ramah, but that's talking about where it's not someone that lives with you all the time and is cooking in the house when the family's around. Those who taina that cooking in the house when the family is around, somebody from the family is going to end up doing something about it. They never rely entirely on you. They're going to look at it, they're going to sniff at it, add something, mix it up, and so on. So there, it's Kiman Nachayek, we're in Geyser days. Okay, well, you're maybe talking about where the Ovedet Kochavim was a neighbor. So she asked the neighbor to come in and to stir. There's no problem. Again, no problem in terms of Bishul Hakam, obviously. It has to be that we know for a fact that it's kosher food. There was no kashash v'chlufe.
I have a question. The earlier question was,
no, but this is hiniach in the meiniach in the brayta. Meiniach is the earlier. Meiniach Yisrael lechatchila uba oved kochavim ha'apepo. He should come. Well, of course. Otherwise, you don't say hiniach. You'd say hiniach.
So in the earlier was hiniach.
The other where it was not the where it was not the intent. And we're bringing a raya now that
goes further. Maybe you learned in the hiniach that.
Yeah, I put in this brayta there so that it shouldn't be a seer. Iboyel, hiniach ovei kochavim v'afach Yisrael ma. How about the other way around? You're telling me that basically when it comes to Bishul Hakom, we do not look at kruve as miltahi, right? So if we don't look at kruve as miltahi, is that only lekula? I mean, is it lechomer or lekula or both directions? Because if the Jew does what the goy does, and you said when the goy does it, it's meaningless. So maybe when the Jew does it, it's meaningless. In which case, it doesn't undo the fact that the goy started the cooking, and now it's no good. Omer Dachra Yitzchak, on the contrary, it's a kal v'chomer. Because if Gamro Biyad Akum is mutter, Gamro Biyad Yisrael lo kol shekein. Remember, the entire issue over here is in terms of kiruv. If the goy is the chef. And as the guy who starts it, he's doing, as they say, Schwarze Arbeit. Anybody can do that. But the guy who finishes it, and he's cooking, and he's aiming on the barbecue, he's the one that's wearing the fancy diaper, and they're taking the pictures. I mean, he's the chef. You're telling, exactly. So you tell me, even if the chef is a guy, I'm not chayish for kirva. Is it kosher if the chef is a Jew? I'm not going to be chayish for kirva because the Akum lit it. So because of that, you can't say I need to look for consistency as to how we view the bishul. It isn't a question of technical definition. It's a question, ultimately, but like we said before, you could have a kula in both directions when it came to Erev Tavshilin. Same thing over here. The kula extends in both directions. The Jew finishes it, it's definitely good. The goy only finishes it. Even that's good. So both ways work. And indeed, itmanani amar barbachan amar rabbi Yochanan, v'amil amar ravacha barbachan amar rabbi Yochanan, bein shehiniach ovei kochavim v'afach Yisrael, or bein shehiniach Yisrael v'afach ovei kochavim, either way it's mutter. It would only be usher if both, from beginning to end, tchilato u'gimoro, biyad ovei kochavim. Now this tchilato u'gimoro, we need to consider what about the middle. So the next case, Omravina, Hilchata, since we're talking about the sugya of Tchila Gomer, if you're talking about an oven, where a rifta, the shagar ovet kochavim, the goy now heats up the oven. The Jew bakes in the oven, be'afa Yisrael. Or, if shagar Yisrael, be'afa ovet kochavim. Or even if shagar ovet kochavim, be'afa ovet kochavim. But in the middle, a Jew came along, and he poked the fire.
Stoked
the coals, or even, which is a difference between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli, Tosfos brings over here, where even Mekel, even if he throws in, if you, according to the Yerushalmi, you would need to do more than just throwing in a little piece of wood, because it doesn't do anything. What are you doing? A kisim. What is a kisim going to help? But according to the Bavli, even kisim was sufficient. So we're semich on this. This is one of the things that are different between the minig and Bavli and the minig of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, even, and that's how we rely on that, even just throwing in something as a formality would be sufficient. Okay, now this is a question. Is this an extra kula because of hatakum? Or is this the same din as Bishul Hakom? Patakum, as we saw, all of the other reasons we make on Patakum as opposed to Bishul Hakom. There wasn't Yecholim La'amidwa. So if there's a Hakpora on Patakum in this place, then any sign that we're being machalic between pat yisrael and pat akum could be sufficient. But not necessarily would such a thing be sufficient to be matir the bishalak. So another, this is really a question, difference between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim, as far as Bishalakum is concerned. You know, so the Ashkenazim are Semech. If the, as long as the ikur of the beginning of the oven, or the whatever it is that you're cooking, you're using a gas cookery that has non-electronic ignition, so has a pilot light. Even that would be sufficient for the Ashkenazim. The Sfarim aren't Semech on that. Nowadays all the Mashkichim are more careful, so there shouldn't be any problem for the Sfarim. Okay, so that's a question. Over here we see Bibi Vir Meiko. Not even just Chota Bachituye in the actual fire. Yeah, so he comes in and he turns it on. Dogma liach. Now getting to the question of a dogma liach that was not that large fish. Now we're gonna buy a large piece of salmon that was soaked in salt by a goy. Can you eat lox that was made by a goy? That's a question. Because normally we say that maliach is kimavusha. Were the chachamim geyser only al yedeya ur mamash, or is anything that is the equivalent of bishul for other purposes oser because of bishulakum? This is a machlok. Chizkia was matir. Rabbi Yochanan asert, we paskin heter lamaisa. So we do eat lox that was made by a goy. Very nogea. No, herring is something else, because there you have other issues. Would it be yoel al shulchan malochim? Is it nechal kamo shulchai? Small fish can be eaten raw, also, without malicha. What about a beitzat tsluya? How about you take an egg, and you put the egg in the fire till it cooks? So over there, the egg is still enclosed. Is that considered to be really the equivalent of bishul or not? So there too, bar kapar shari, Rabbi Yochanan asa. When Rav Dimi came along, he said, Dog Maliach, Beitzat Tzeluya, you should know that Chizki and Bar Kapara were both matir, because the Tzeluya is still, there's absolutely no touching even of the foodstuff by the Beitzat Tzeluya. That's how Rashi understands it. No, it's what they would do is put it into the coals. Raw egg, leave the raw eggs in the actual leftover coals in the wood, like in the fireplace. You know, where you're in the shell. Same idea. That's the question. If there's no negia in the actual food, so then it's already not considered that he's dealing with the food. It's more of a non-chef activity, essentially. You're not touching the food. That's how Rashi understands the difference. So, Bar Kapor and Chizkiya were matir, Rabbi Yochanan Aser. Reb Chiya Parva came lebei Reish Galuta. They asked him, Beitzat Tzluya Mai. So he told them, since you have a machlokas, and there's two on one side and the other two, one on the other side, you have Chizkiya and Bar Kapor being matir, and Rabbi Yochanan is Aser. Ein Dvar Av Shelachat V'Makom Shnayim. Why should we be machmir when we have the rove as matir? Omar lo Reb Zvid. Reb Zvid was very upset with that. Lo tzitzite like, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Hachi Omar Abai, Yochatak Avati Rabbi Yochanan. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, it's usher. Now that did not find favor in the eyes of the Avodim in the Reish Galuta's house, who were used to being Noeg Heter. We know that they were rough guys. They did not like people who were Machmer. So they managed to poison Reb Zvid. And when they Nashkuyan the Naguda de Chala, they managed to get him to drink down so much vinegar that he died that night. They weren't going to let people in there answering things for them. These were the famous Avodim of the Reish Galusa that were causing problems all the time. We have this all over Shas. It didn't have to be Chumras, it had to do with them. Anything that made their life harder, they got rid of the rabbi that caused it. I told you I had this Maisa when I was a Mashkiya in the ship. So the guy in charge, the purser who was in charge of all the food, he said, you know, we've locked people in the freezer before. It's no joke. I mean, that freezer, freezer is bigger than this room, much bigger. You know, there's no way you can get out if somebody comes and locks the door on you. Definitely gives you pause. He didn't say it with a smile either, I'll tell you. Turn around. Hakafrisin vakaplutot vahimtalia and chamin and klayot shalahem are mutarim. So to eat caper berries, yeah. That's not a problem because a caperberry is eaten raw. To eat leeks, also to eat raw. Himtalia, we're going to see what Himtalia is. We'll see later on why that's butter. Hot water, well, hot water, we said before. There's no shinoi in it. If there's no shinoi, there's no added value in the bishul. And the kloyot, we also spoke about before, where you take the grain and you parch it, but it still has the tzur of the grain when it comes out. It's like a popcorn. All those things are mutter. But the beitzat shluya is a surah. Shemen, well, we know Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya and his Beit Din, they were matir the shemen. So that's not a problem. Says the Gemara, as far as this hematalia, what is hematalia? Hematalia is pashlaya. In case you know what that is, it's shiata. Oh, great, okay, so what's the shiata? Now I'll... My shiata. Omer Rabbi Chana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. My God, it's 40 years since we figured out what that is. It's a famous recipe that came out of Mitzrayim. Arboim shnidin afik ayuv de Mitzrayim. Rabbi Chana says himself, not quoting Rabbi Yochanan, it's 60 years, but of course that was 20 years later. So, shitin shnidin afik ayuv de Mitzrayim. Lo pligi mar b'shnei b'mar b'shnei. Each one was talking about it in his own time. But anyway, the hematalia is this tremendous hemoglobin power drink. So it really addresses your iron deficiency. And what you do is your mighty brizra de carpasa. So you bring celery seeds, ubizra de kitna, flax seeds. These are all things that people nowadays they put in their salads. Interesting. Bizra de shavlilta. And also, I think fenugreek, they translate shavlilta, if I'm not mistaken. Well, how do they translate it there? Shavlilta? Fenugreek, okay. And use fenugreek seed, and you take those seeds, mix them together, and torle bahari adari in warmish water, tepid water. Vishavkale ademikba, now you let them sit there until they're sprouting already. And then you bring chatzpechadita, you bring these new containers, you fill them up with water. And taru begargishta, you put in this type of clay that is very nourishing. And medapkin bay, you stick that around now over the seeds. And meanwhile, you go into the bathhouse. Now while you're in the bathhouse, these things basically, this is Jack and the Beanstalk, this stuff pops right through. I mean, this is, you thought Popeye was something, let me tell you. And then you eat this while you're in there. By the time you come out of the nafke malavlavi, these things are blossoming all over the place. The achol minayu, you eat some of this, and let me tell you something, it's from the top, tippy top of your head to the tippy toes. Kairei mi binata dereshaya tufa dekaraya, you'll get it from the top of your hair to the bottom of your tippy toes, and you will be chilled. It's great to come out of a hot bath. And this is great stuff. Amar Rav Asher, Amar Rav Chanina, that's a bunch of garbage. Milin, that doesn't work. It's just words. But some say what he said was it doesn't work naturally. It only works bim milin. This is magical. Yeah. Tanur Rabbanan.
But nonetheless, we see that.
Yeah, yeah. So all of it is obviously there's no real bishul. Tanur Rabbanan. Kuspan shelovdei kochavim shehuchmu chamin. It depends whether it is. This kuspan is what they would do is they would take over the leftover of the beer. Remember, the beer in those days was made out of tamarim in Bavel. And so what was left behind had in it a lot of good taste. But, I mean, it couldn't be eaten the way it was. They would put it into hot water, boil it up, and it made like a tea.
Like leaves of wine?
No, this is like a tea. It had a different taste. It wasn't meant to remake the beer. You cook it. So you warm this up, and it's you get it in this Starbucks. So if it was in a Yora Gedola, then it's Osir. But if it's a Yora Ketana, then it's Mutter. Now, the problem over here is that if it's in a Yora Gedola, we're assuming that Yora Gedola was used for cooking all kinds of stuff, maybe clam soup or something. Who knows? So that would be the equivalent of buying coffee in one of these machines that dispenses soup and hot coffee and so on, which you often find on the road. Where over there, it's going to be a kli that was used for dvarim tmeim. If it's a yorek tana, then that's only used for cooking coffee. Water for coffee, water for tea. I mean, you can't even get anything in there. It's got a thin spout. So who uses that for anything else? And what defines that? Ezo yorek tana. Omer Rabbiana kosha in tzipor dro your choli kanes betocha. What they would do is they would, if it was a small pot, they would throw a little birdie in it and cook it up. you know, chicken soup in the coffee pot. So, I mean, that's what they tell you. Don't go into, you know, you can't buy anything at Starbucks. How do you know it wasn't put into a non-kosher dishwasher? And, or maybe, who knows, maybe one of the workers put a ham sandwich into the boiler. Okay, so over here you have to be chayish. See if the bird can fit in, so then it's bird's eye coffee. Vedilma admui admua. I don't understand. When what's weird about the bird? They can mince the bird and put the bird in mince. So you told me the bird has to fit in. Sorry, you're right. It's the head of the bird. If I can mince the head, if the head of the bird doesn't fit in, then they don't throw it in. It's a koshin. Rosh sipor droyo cholikanezitocha. But Tanya, doesn't the Brita say it doesn't matter what size the yora is, whether it's a Starbucks yora or it's a Dunkin' Donuts yora, it makes no difference. Achat yora gdola, achat yora ktana mutar. How do you explain that? We explain that very simply. Lakash, hakamad yom anotin tam lifgam asur. Hakamad yom anotin tam lifgam mutar. The general rule is that we do not concern ourselves that the kalim were used today for tarfa. It was yesterday for Tarfon. So what do you have to worry about? Of course, they didn't know about Judaism in those days. But, they didn't know about Judaism in those days. They used to follow the halacha. But the halacha would be if you went into Starbucks, what's your chashash? That maybe somebody had brought in a sandwich, what, this morning? Some time ago, yesterday, the day before. So anyway, it's kosher. So what's the difference? This is a time we've got. And therefore, you don't have to worry. What are you worried about? I mean, you look, take a look at these blogs and people that, I mean, it's just unbelievable. How can you buy coffee in it? They wash it in a non-kosher dishwasher, and in that non-kosher dishwasher, they have kalim that they used in the microwave. They cooked up some the non-kosher, whatever, cookies that they sell.
Was it in your thing?
And then they put it in. I don't know what it is. There's like 20 steps why it would be mutter at that point, you understand? You know, the whole thing was pogrom with the soap and the dishwasher and the, oh my God, it's all, you know. But okay, one of us or Starbucks. You should see some might tell me to have a site called Kosher Starbucks. It's interesting, Starbucks itself refers you to this site to get all your kosher information. Okay, Lamaisa, if you ask them, say, everything is kosher. But because they're living in Lakewood, they have to write, you know, this is kosher, this is kosher, that's kosher. Even for that, the abuse, I mean, that the newspaper articles in the room, newspapers, that is Oisvorps, Matir, the absolute tarfus. You know, obviously, they only, the Rabbanim are afraid to put their signatures on it. Obviously, they ask Rabbanim. Hi, Mishcha, Shalika, Daramoi, Asur. If they boiled up now the oil, so then already it would be considered to be asur. Omer of Safra, asur for what? Lamai Nechashla. You're afraid now that they mixed it with yain? Mister, sorry, that ruins it. You can't mix oil with wine. Imishum bishalakum. Water, the oil can be eaten kamoshul chai, it's a dip. If it's because of giuliakum that you're afraid of the tam that came out of the kalim, it's a nice tam of God, and it's mutter. So how can you asur it? What about the ahine shliki darmoy? So this, they would take dates, and they would cook up the dates. So it's sort of like a tzimis kind of thing. What's the din? If it's sweet, then there's no question, because sweet dates are eaten without cooking. So chiluya lo tibay lecha, vadei shor. If they're bitter, and they're not edible unless you cook them, so then of course it's asur. That's a classic case of eino necha kamo shulcha, meriri lo tibay lecha, the vadei asiri. Ki tibay lecha mitzioi. How about if it's, you know, it's nechal, but most people like it a little sweeter. My. Omalu maiti boilechu. What's the problem? My Rebbe, he answered it. Umanu, that's Levi. Shtita. So shtita now is also very, very common kind of food. And what they would do is they would mix some type, and you can make it many different ways, but they would take kemach kloyot. Now remember, the kloyot is a grain that's been parched in an oven or in a popcorn maker. And they would make it not only out of grains, they would make it sometimes out of legumes. So they would make it out of corn. And then they would grind it up, and they would now mix it with sometimes water, sometimes vinegar, and would make a drink out of it. And that was their very, very common drink. That was their Coca-Cola. So now, if it's shtita that's made by a goy, Rav says it's kosher. Avud Shmuel Velevi says that it's osur. Now, let's first clarify what we're talking about. If we're talking about a shtita that's made from wheat, or it's made from barley, so kuli amalo pligi d'shoy, that is obviously kosher, because those things are never mixed with anything else, and you can eat stam barley and wheat, as the stam kloyas we were matter. If you're talking about talpachei, which are lentils, and there's a talpachei that is mixed with vinegar, of course it's also because the vinegar was wine vinegar. The machlokas is
the problem is the chometz, not the lentils.
Problem is the chometz. But if it's lentils mixed with water, so then Mar Sava Gazrin and Ha'atah, one man Yomar says, look, people don't know the difference between the water shtita, water lentil shtita, and vinegar lentil shtita. If you're going to be matar one, they'll be matar the other one. Mar Sava Gazrin, Mark put on it to make a gzera. Others learn not, it's more chomer than that. But talpachi, the maya kule amalo plegide aser, that we definitely make that gzera. The question is whether we should even go so far as to aser chiti v'sa'are. Or to the talpachei bechomet. Shemar sever gazvina, otomar sever gazvina. Omar Rav, a trei mini shtita, shoda barzilai agiladi leDavid. Take a look at the pasuk. I mean, it's clear barzilai agiladi was absolutely a connoisseur of good Coca-Cola. Because we see that in the things that he sent to David when he was running away, and that made such a difference to David. You know, imagine the whole world is falling apart around you, you suddenly get a glass of cold Coca-Cola with ice, you know. Somebody goes out of his way to do that for you. I mean, it's amazing. So if you analyze the pasuk, you'll see that there's a remez there to two different types of shetita. Because he sent cots and mattresses, kleyotzer, chitim usorim, v'kemach v'koli, upol v'adashim v'koli. So in other words, the v'koli is going back on the mixture of seorim kemach as koli, or upol v'adashim as koli, and therefore the trei zimne koli is trei zimne shtita, trei mine shtita. So what we have over here is two different types, one made with pol and one made with grain. That's exactly what we're talking about. As far as the people that are being machmer, let me just tell you something. Nowadays, you walk through the marketplace in Arda, and you see hundreds of bottles of this stuff piled up, one on top of the other, in every flavor under the sun. I never saw anybody who says that you're not allowed to eat it. Velet l'chayish lo de'avud Shmuel v'Levi. As far as Avud Shmuel v'Levi, saying shtita is aser, nobody holds that the chiti v'sari stuff is aser, or that we make any kind of gezeiras. I'm telling you, you can get Coca-Cola without any echerim over there, and there's no problem. Unless it says on it, mixed in vinegar. Is that mixed in vinegar? Forget it. Kvashin shedarkav matet betochan yayin. The next case we had in the Mishnah was pickled things that are often pickled with wine. And there it says they're aser b'ano, b'achila, but they're not aser b'ano, or machiskia, but that's, they're not aser b'ano only where it's common to put in wine, a dark one. But if it's biyadua, if you know, and most we should learn if you know means if the rove is that it's done that way. So all intents and purposes, you know that you mixed wine in it, so then it's aser afila b'ano. Why is that? I thought the Murias, the Rabbonim were mater b'ana, and over there, almost everybody throws in wine. So that's called biyadua. So why, how come the Murias, we said beferish, that were mater b'ana? Nope, over there, it's labure zuama. Over there, it's the equivalent of sprinkling, which we had before, remember, the case where you put in the wine on the hot tar that they're lining. It's heilich le'ibud. So when you put in wine into murias, the purpose of the wine is to take the stench out from the murias, and it's wreck immediately with that. So that's considered to be heilich le'ibud. But hachal metuke taima. Here, it actually is there to give it a taste. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, even if you know that there was wine in it, it's mutter. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, fil biyadua nami mutter. Everybody holds it's mutter. Wait a minute. Why? I mean, a little bit of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that by Murias it's osur bano. So why over here is it mutter? Now, hatam yediya mamasho. When you're eating Murias, you dip into it and you're eating the wine itself. Not the tom, you're actually eating the wine. Over here we're talking about pickling. When you pickle a cucumber in this stuff, you're not eating the wine. You use the wine to pickle. But the actual mamashut is not there. So achalo yadiya mamashut, because you don't drink the juice. You only eat the vegetable that you put into the juice. And the point of putting it in over here is just to maintain it in its pickling your juice. It's not that you're going to be actually drinking the yayin itself. Mela I hold it's mutter even if you know that there's wine in it. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle.
Okay.
Now, we were talking about Mishal Akum yesterday, and we came to the conclusion that actually the Tana over here, Midrabana, even though we had the Pasuk of Ochot Kesesh Bereini and so on, Bereini, that's only in Edmata. And today, the Gemara wants to clarify what is included in this Takana of Mishal Akum, because we did see yesterday that there were things that certainly were not included, popcorn or pop wheat. We were wondering what the Hagadara was. It isn't based on the Pasuk. From Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav, the Klal is this. Kol ha-ne'achal kamot shehuchai. Anything which could be eaten the way it is, without any cooking, en ba mishum, mishulei akum. There's no point in it in the Bishul Akum that would offer. The Surah Matnu Hachi, that's the way they read it and they had it in Surah, Kumpadita. But in Kumpadita, they said the Klal in a different way. And they said, Amar Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav, kol she'ino ne'achal ha-shulchan melachim melaseh kotapat, en ba mishum shulah. Anything that would not be chashuv enough to bring up on a royal seuda together with the pot would not be considered to be bishul akum. And now you'll notice that the Gemara now, they pay attention, asked my Binai group, what is the difference between these instructions? First thing that pops in your mind, the difference between these instructions would be something like, say, honey, cheese. Because those are things that can be eaten raw. Certainly are all other over in the law, or kosher, and they put it on bread and so on. And yet the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, by Binai, the difference between them would be maybe like sardines, or hardy, or mushrooms, where now they are all a little in the loch. At the time, we're not considered to offer. Actually, even the early post can bring it as my name, mushrooms are considered to be a darasha. And daisa, or oatmeal. I mean, you're not going to serve a king oatmeal, you're going to serve a marine. So, you'll notice that it says over here only one sod. You see, it says those things, the difference between them would be those things which certainly require cooking. They're not nechah k'marshim chayim, but they're not all shulchan melachim. Now, why doesn't it also say the others? Why does it say things that don't require cooking at all shulchan melachim? So it seems from here, the Rabbi Natan makes a diyak that the Gemara is not coming to find what the difference is in saying that these are mutually exclusive. That, but rather, the Gemara clearly is saying they're additive in terms of the kulam. So that, yes, it's certainly a given that if they would be nechah k'marshim chayim, then they wouldn't be. Included in the Din of Mishal Akum. In addition to that, there's also this extra heter of the way that they read it in Pumbedita, which means even if it does require cooking, like a sardine, but if it's not Eila al Shulchan Malachim, it's not considered to be actually a problem of Mishal Akum. Just by the way, you should know, I say sardines, but there are poskim, incredibly enough, I mean, it seems to me outrageous, but there are poskim that say that sardines are Eila little from Malachim. I mean, I think that is just unbelievable. Because, I mean, if you ever want to express something that is not kosher, and a person is stuck, and has nothing to eat, that we survived on cans of sardines, and they're in sardines, and because of the yellow sugar malachim. I think it's wild. The mice, I think that most of the protein, there's other issues with the sardines, they got the effect of the oil and so on. I mean, these matter all of it, and I think that's basically the way that people realize sardines.
So the DOU.
Well, you, according to this, you wouldn't need the OU. I mean, that a dog would be so nefak machukai, I don't think we should go that far, but If you have small fish that are salted, and then the goy now goes ahead after you salted it and cooks it, since they could be eaten as salted fish, even though they're not 100% prepared, but people do eat them in that age, there's no longer any din of bishul akum, because in essence the salt made them nechal kamo shehem, even though not nechal kamo shehem chayim, but they're nechal kamo shehem without any subsequent bishul. Amr of Yosef, id sal'an obey kochavim, so met Israel alayim bishul me'iru vei tafilin. If a goy roasted them, you could be somech on that for an eru tafilin as well, even though certainly there's not the difference between the roasting and the cooking. We're talking about over salting. But the idea over here is that this was something that's common. There'd be no problem of relying on that and cooking on that basis. The Yavdino Evichuchavim Kasadarzana. But if the guy cooked the fish and chopped them up and then cooked them in a mixture of what they used to use as a fish dip, they'd be herring and a lot
of spice together with flour and cook the whole thing up, that would be asur, because the flour part is, needs to be cooked. Can't eat that wrong. Is that obvious, Shita? No, it's not really obvious, because ma'adatema harsana yikar. You see, you might have thought that the fish mint in that case was the most important part of the dish, and the part of the flour was only basically maybe as a binder. And therefore comes along the ma'amar here to tell me that no, actually, the flour is there as part of the actual thing. It's not simply a binder, but you should know that on the basis of this Gemara, the Rabbi Natan, so as it brings over here, was matir various French dishes in which they did use actually these various things, where they had eggs and stuff like that inside of like a crepe kind of thing, yeah. I think they call them the blanket. And he says over there that, again, he summed up on this in the opposite way, because in those things, he says the blanket is the eater, and therefore, if you're not makban on pas akum, then you can eat it because the blanket is the eater, and the other thing is also for the blanket. So you take the one and switches it around. But you see from here that lamaisa, the iker is what defines really the suit. All my heart telling you, I mean, oh, they had hair in their head. Well, you know, how do you know it's a kosher egg? Well, you know, I mean, the unkosher eggs aren't that common. And how do you know there's no blood in the egg? Well, steaks don't have blood. And what about the fact that it's bishalaka? The yikr is a blanket. Not that if you're not marking on this, rubbing it on. You walk around the streets in Paris and you're buying things. You don't know anything about them. This is tremendous, tremendous difference. I mean, like the Gemara Kulam, you know, you find meat lying in the street, you know. And what's it then? Well, most of the people that are around are Jewish, that probably fell from a Jew. Can you imagine? Yeah. Amrav Bruna Amarav. Oveiko Chavim Shitita Ta'ur Ba'agam Kolach HaGavim Sheba'agam Asurim. If a goy has burnt down a marsh, and in the process an awful lot of grasshoppers got caught in the fire, and you now want to walk through and have yourself a delicious, freshly roasted grasshopper, all of those grasshoppers are osir. Now, it seems to be saying that they're osir because they were roasted by a guy. If you're telling me that you can't tell because they've been roasted, whether it was a kosher species or non-kosher species, it's nothing to do with a guy. If a Jew burnt it, it wouldn't make any slightest bit of difference. Ella, are you telling me that it's because of Bishal Akum? Because since the guy lit the fire, so therefore all of these grasshoppers are considered to be roasted by a goy. Is that true? Ki agavna miyasir. Is there, in fact, in a case like this, an isur bishul akum? The Omer of Kanabarami, Omer Rabbi Padat, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. An oveko chavim dechorech ureisha, shori lamecha minei, afilo mireish unei. A goy who was using a torch, I don't know if you've ever seen the old-fashioned singeing off of fur, hairs, or chickens, where they, you know, they would use a flame to get rid of the... You've seen that, right? Yeah, so before before meat grew in supermarkets, it actually used to be on animals and then had like hair and stuff on it. And so see, so they would burn it off. So if a guy now burns it off, I would send my summers on the farm, as a kid, I see this all the time. If a guy burns it off, then in fact there are places that he actually cooked. I mean, so let's say the ears, you know, the ears, if you put it into a little bit of a fire, that's enough already to cook it. Nonetheless, shari l'mecha minei, you could even eat from the tip of the ears, which are fully cooked. Why is that? Because the guy is not interested in cooking. He's interested, basically, in singeing off whatever hairs are there for aesthetic purposes. And so you see that his kavana is only not for cooking, but rather for other purposes. So the same thing is true over here. I mean, the guy certainly did not light a fire in order to cook the grasshoppers. I mean, he lit the fire in order to clear the clearing so that he could do whatever he was doing. I mean, he was doing it for agricultural purposes or building purposes, not for cooking purposes. So what would be the issur of Bishul Akum just because the guy happened to light a fire? And says the Gemara, you know, you're absolutely right. We have to go back to the way we looked at it before. The problem over here is that you can't take chance on identification when they're already cooked. You may be mixing up a mean that had a longer wing. Maybe it was singed off. You're assuming that it was long, but maybe it was really short. And you're low yet the eye thought about coming. The only reason that it mentioned the guy over here was because it was referring to an actual case came before the back. Matzah Shaya, Bovet Kochavim Haya would have been exactly the same sack if it was a Jew. Guf Obrev Kanabarami, Omer of Yochanan, Hai Ovet Kochavim Dechore Choresh, getting back to that sack. He said that if a guy was singeing off hair, then it's Mutil, Amechamin Ha'afilim Yerechunah, you could even eat from parts that had been fully cooked with that. Omer Ravina Hilkach, now I can say by implication, that's the case. And Hai Ovet Kochavim Dechore Choresh, somebody, a guy now takes a peg that he needs to dry out, becomes woolen, and he wants to dry it out in a oven. And he throws it into an oven, lights a fire in order to get it all dried out. And little did he know that Kavar Bo Yisro Kara Mi Kora, a Jew had previously put a pumpkin in that oven to, you know, at any time there would be heat in the oven, that the pumpkin would get cooked. And he had buried it under the under the ash on the bottom of the oven. Chopper Dummy, there would be no problem in using the heated oven that the guy had heated for him to eat his pumpkin, despite the fact that it was entirely bishalakum. Because when the guy was heating the oven, he wasn't heating it for purposes of cooking. He was heating it for purposes of drying out a piece of wood. And that's not called cooking any more than the agricultural purposes of the agma, or the case of the cutting, of singeing off the hair of the head would be considered cooking. Well, Shita, I mean, you know, there's an infinity of implications. If you want to tell us every possible implication, we'll be here forever. Well, why do you need to tell us that? Because Ma'adatimel is surely monochrome rabbi. See, no, I'm telling you something important. Somebody might have suggested that the cooking of a pig is also called cooking. I mean, listen, after all, in terms of Shabbat, it would be considered to be cooking. There's such a thing as a cooking metal or cooking material when we're trying to harden something. That's called cooking. You might have thought in terms of an official akum, we should apply the same standards. Yes, yes. So it's called cooking. Kamashman, when it comes to visual akum, we don't look at it as cooking because the issue is entirely in terms of food that the takana was made. And that's important for you to know. So Kamashman, the shirure monaka mechavim. That's what the Kiddush is. That this, in terms of visual akum, is looked purely as strengthening a kli and not cooking food. Therefore, if the pumpkin happens to get cooked, that's perfectly all right. Yes, somebody would cook this under body. Would go around the show.
But not pumpkin.
The peg. It would be a sir to do that. Oh, Merev Yudam Eshvua. He niach Yisrael basar al gabe gichalim. Let's say a Jew is putting down, he puts down meat on a barbet. Now, Baal Vekachavim, if he walks away, a guy comes along, and he turns the meat over so that it is better done. It's perfectly okay to eat that. So, hey, Chidani, what? Hey, Ilei, but Iloa, Fahbe, Habi Basha. Is it that even if the guy had never come along and done that nonetheless, he would have ended up barbecued okay? So then, Pshita, I mean, well, then why not? Then the guy didn't really do anything now, did he? Elolav, the Iloa, Fahbe, Basha. On the other hand, if you're telling me that the case is that had the guy not done that it wouldn't have properly barbecued, Amai Mutar, then why is it Mutar? Why is it considered to be Bishulakum? Bishulakum. So the Gemara Lod Sricha, the case would be that we need to know is the Iloa, Fahbe, Basha, Batar, Tishai, look, it would have ultimately maybe been cooked through, but now that it would have taken 2 hours before, now it takes 1 hour. So Mazda Tema Kruve Bishula Miltahi. On the finish is that I might have thought that getting things to cook better or faster is considered to be an important element. Kamash Malan, that it's not an issue. Now we're going to clarify later on what that means.
Huh?
Well, that's what we're saying, that it's not significant.
But he did it,
didn't he? Yeah, all right. The question is, what did we ask for Bishul Akum? Something that was cooked by an Akum that wouldn't have been cooked by Yisrael. But that we'll see. Now, there's two ways of understanding this. Either that we don't view that as part of the act of cooking, Kamashmalan, on that way. Or Kamashmalan, despite the fact that it might be significant in terms of the cooking, it's not part of our takana for Bishul Akum. Now, let's see which one it be. Now, didn't Ravasi Yomer of Yochanan say, Kosher hu kemachal ben drusai, ein bo mishum bishulei Akum, ha'enu kemachal ben drusai, yesh. Now, I thought that there was a shiur that was involved. There was a famous highway robber whose name was Ben Drusai. Anyway, we used to use him as the mashal for people who were sort of redneck. You know, they would eat something that was only shlish bishulo. So once it's cooked to that extent, there's no longer an isser bishul akum on it. However, if it was not cooked to that extent, then there is an bishul akum on it. Now, you're telling me that all that's important is that the Jew put the meat down on the barbecue. You didn't tell me that it needed to be cooked a certain amount, and that's the issue. Having been cooked, we don't look at the additional cooking as being significant. You just said that if the Jew started the cooking. That's all that counts. I don't understand. That contradicts myself. Rabbi Yochanan says the Gemara. No. Talking about two totally different cases. Hatam kagon za otzei b'silta v'shakle ovid kavavim v'otzei b'tanura. The case that Rabbi Yochanan was talking about is that the Jew had completed whatever he was going to do. It was cooked to Machal ben Rizal. He put it in the fridge. Comes along now, a goy takes it out of the fridge and puts it in the tanur. So there Rabbi Yochanan is saying, look, if it was cooked to Machal ben Rizal, it's already cooked, so we don't look at it as being significant. If it wasn't, then this is a new act of cooking. But that has nothing to do with the case of the barbecue that we were talking about. We're over there. If the guy had left it alone, it would have ultimately cooked on the barbecue. The Jew never took it off now to determine whether, okay, are we going to now begin cooking it when he takes it out of the fridge? It was never put into the fridge. It's on the barbecue the way it was originally. So there, as long as what the Jew did would have resulted in its cooking, even though now it wasn't cooked. Whatever the guy does is not viewed as significant. Two completely different issues. Whereas in this case, it's much different. We also learned in a bright, if a Jew puts something down on top of a barbecue, comes along with goy, and he's and now the goy is there, and he's taking care of the barbecue while the guy goes. He says, listen, I got no time for barbecues. I got the top. You take care of it for me. And so that's fine. They know for sure. She doesn't have to worry about the fact that the guy was the one that was taking care of the meat the whole time he was gone. And she'll fed it to Shak Deira Agabe Kira. A woman could put a pot down on top of the flyer, and Ubato Veritko Kavim, she can have her maid come along. Umekisa. And the maid can now stir the whatever it is she's cooking. Achtavomi Beta Merkat Veta Knesset. Even though you may be saying over here, by the way, the suggestion of the acronym is that it's Amy Beta Kiset. Because otherwise it's a little strange to the Beta Merkat or Beta Knesset. Okay, but anyway, so she needs to leave the room. She leaves the Goya there. And the reason that it's Achitavo, by the way, what do we need Achitavo? The point is that we always have the Chashash over here for Masurim. So this is just being Marami that, I mean, obviously, the guy isn't alone. At any moment, the Jew could walk in. I mean, they don't know when the Jew coming back. So there's no chashash that they're going to put in for an asurim over here. But ain't a chashash. The fact that normally we would view the stirring as being part of the actual cooking doesn't disturb us over here. How about the opposite? How about if the guy put it down? And then the Jew came along, and he now turns the meat over on the barbecue. Would that be sufficient? Now, the question over here boils down to our understanding of the previous answer. If the previous answer, when we said that it's we might have thought, the Gemara said before, now, there's two ways of understanding that, as I mentioned before. You're going to tell me, kamashmalam, that kuvei bishule is insignificant in terms of the din of bishulako. And that all that counts is who got it going. And of course, if the goy got it going, it wouldn't help if the Jew did something. So we have to conclude that it would be us, based on our understanding of the previous one. If, however, the meaning of the kamashmalam is that you might have thought that the significance of the conclusion of the cooking was enough to answer it. Kamashmalam, that when it comes to bishulakum, all that interests us is that the Jew should be somehow involved in the cooking, even if it's a lesser part. And therefore, it doesn't matter that it's miltahi, because after all, the idea over here was to rechuk from akum, and if the only time you're going to be able to eat with an akum is when you did something for the cooking, then you're not going to be walking at the parties and pubs, because that's already not, it's just not mutter that you should have done it. So then, of course, it would be for sure that this would be mutter, because I mean, over here, even the conclusion is being done by the Jew, that's even better. And in fact, the Gemara answers as the second rule. He clearly is learning the second way of looking at the previous one. If we were willing to say before that even where the guy was the one who finishes the barbecue, he's the one that's putting it on the plate, and we're saying that that's okay because it was started by a Jew, and even though he did the more significant thing, it doesn't matter. So that must be the way he's learning it. So Koshkin over here, when the Jew is doing the more significant thing, and he's completing it, that it doesn't matter, which is, of course, I mean, obviously, he did not intend to agree with the meaning as long as he got it moving, because then over here was a guy who got it moving. So that clarifies, that's why I said, let's wait until we see that clarifies the earlier sugya. Itmar nami om rabba barbachanam rab yochanan, vamil om rabba barbachanam rab yochanan, bein shiniach avikochavim vapach yisrael, bein shiniach yisrael vapach avikochavim muta. It really doesn't matter. As long as the Jew is involved on some level over here, it would be mutter. The only time it's also for Bishul is Ache Tchilato vigamro biyadoviko chavit. It would have to be begun and ended by a goy, and anything less than that is not osur because of bishalakum. Furthermore, says Ravina Hilkata, I rifta. If you're talking about people that are noagisu with patakum, so a rifta, the shogar ovito chavim, where the ovito chavim was the one who initially warmed up the tanur before the pot was put in. The afar Yisrael, now a Jew comes along and he bakes in that tanur. Or vice versa. Shogar Yisrael, or Jew, heats up the tanur, comes along the goy, and he puts in the bread in the tanur and bakes with it. Or you know what? For that matter, even if the goy warmed up the tanur, puts in the bread himself, and a Jew comes along in the process of the baking, the atay Yisrael, he digs up the coals that they should burn a little bit better, exposing new coals to the air. That's also enough. It's all shapir dummy. That's all considered to be a involvement of the Yisrael in the baking process, and it's considered to be pat Yisrael. Now, there's a big machlokas about how to learn Ravina's din in reference to the earlier din of Rav Yochanan. The machlokas of Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, and therefore some of the difference between the way the Sfaradim do it and the Ashkenazim do it. The Shulchan Aruch essentially learns that, along with many Rishonim, that what Ravina was saying applies only to bread. For a very simple reason, the Shigirat HaTanur, without the bread being in it, is meaningful because bread bakes differently when the entire oven is warm. So even though what I didn't do when the bread was in the tanur, but the point is that I am being mahana the pot that put into the tanur later. Ashenkin, if I turn on a fire on a gas oven, that has absolutely nothing to do. I mean, the flame that was burning before has nothing to do with the flame that's burning now. And if there wasn't the pot on the flame before, I never did anything to the pot, to the food. So if afterwards the guy puts the food down, who cares who lit the fire? And therefore you cannot rely on that as a hetzer for bishalakra, because the fire is insignificant in terms of the food. Now the Ramah learns, like those Rishonim who say, it makes absolutely no difference. The idea over here is the involvement of the Yisrael in the process. It doesn't matter whether the food was there at that period. So then, of course, we rely on this almost exclusively when it comes to all of the OU Heterim and so on. And how does something become Bishul Yisrael? Because the Jew lights the fire. And having lit the fire once, months later, they're pouring stuff in there. So that's all considered to be Bishul Yisrael. Not a problem in Bishul Akram. I mean, there are places where they rely even on the pilot. The pilot flame was lit by the Jew, and therefore everything else that comes afterwards is basically part of Bishul Yisrael. It's a tremendous kula, right? And, okay, I mean, Lamaisa, the Svartan, don't rely on this. Right, yeah. So that's it. According to Shulchan Aruch, that's essential. Although, Rav Ovadia Yosef has an interesting truvis about being medarif, other things that are, because he's medayik, Olal Shulchan Alochim, Lafez Beyasapat. In other words, it's not just Olal Shulchan Alochim, the way most do, but it has to be Olal Shulchan Alochim specifically to be together with bread. Now, that those things that aren't used in Lafez Beyasapat are also not going to be, also Bishalach. So, exactly. So he's medarif that heter, I think he goes to one. Mitzarek, that heter with the Ramon, okay, together we can rely on. There's also another question about how much it is to be us to Yisrael v'chotzik yituyu b'gecholim. The mashma'ut is to actually dig up the coals, means you make a significant difference because you added heat. The ma'isa, we rely even on blowing in a silta, taking a tuba, going in a tuba, even though that doesn't make any difference. So that is the machlokas of Bavli in the Yerushalmi, which in the Yerushalmi has to be significant. So this brings over here that we pass in like B'nai above all, that even mashlit and kiteng with tanur is sufficient. And that's because it's all a question of formality, not a question of reality. The whole takonah, if we understand the takonah to be the avoidance of us particularly, then it's the formal avoidance that's important. The very fact that you know when you are about to eat something, that there had to be something that the Jew did in order to be ma'aseret, already creates a tremendous rechuk socially in terms of the avoidance of us. It doesn't matter whether in reality it's going to be detectable, this particular is detectable in the heart. That's not the point. Okay, so again, we're somewhat very much lakula in this again because there's a drop on it. And we follow the sheet of lakula. And the Rambam brings, by the way, the same name again. I mean, it wasn't just that some say, but that's the general minute. Yeah, so, I mean, that's actually one of the things that Rav Avadia brings in the Shuvah. That's something that becomes so important for all of them. I mean, we'd lose half of our Ethereum, you know. We wouldn't be saying this on this. He really searches for ways for even the Svartan to be saying this on the Ramon.
Restaurant and bakery in New York. neighborhood.
Subject to either closing or hiring over his own youth.
Well, yeah, that's what we have. Most of the high help is from the neighborhood.
Although nowadays the Mashiach comes in, really, I mean, that's part of his job. Yeah. He comes in and he turns it on.
No, but now it's a matter of him. So every time you open it up, the new ones here, basically, for catering, it's like when you open it up completely.
Why?
I guess so that there won't be any problem of your kid with over. Okay, you know, it's all electronically built. When you open it up, it completely works.
Really?
And when you close it, it goes on. The closing is what makes over.
Really?
Yeah, so it's a bigger problem.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I never heard that.
They didn't check with us.
I'm sure they found ways to unsafety the safety catch. That's what they've done.
I mean, it's open most of the time, like at night.
Sounds like one of these wildfire rumors that they discover all of these insane things, none of which turn out to be true, but they create these major kashrus problems and take years to figure out why they're not problems. They keep people busy.
No, he said, we have a pilot that would say on all the time, right.
They only say that because it doesn't. All right. Dogma Liach. Here we're talking about not the case that we had earlier in which the Dogma Liach, the Yisrael, had been Moleach, and now the question isn't the Goy, he did it afterwards on a bed, because that was a completely different question, whether that's called Ner HaKamot Shulchai. Here the question is, at least according to Rashi, whether a Dogma Liach, which was sufficiently Maluach to be eaten as is, and the Malicha was done by a Goy, whether that is considered to be the equivalent of the Bishul. Because after all, Malicha, in certain dinim, is the equivalent of Bishul. So what about a Goy who was Moleach? So here we have a machlok. Hiskia says that's a mutter because it's not an act of bishul, and we only ask the bishul. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that is the bishul, and therefore it's also. Beitzatzluya, you take an egg, which is completely sealed in its own built-in container, and you put it in the coals. Bar Kapora holds that that's mutter because there's no chance of the goy touching the actual foodstuff. So it's containerized. And this is how Rashi learned, not everybody's moda to that particular tula, but again, it has implication today. The Gabe automated, this is one of the things that they were talking about for many years, that any automated process is the equivalent of a Beit Shluya, because nobody can touch it, especially when it's cooked in the can. So if something is put into a can, sealed, so now it's like a Beit Shluya sealed. According to Rashi, that's considered to be no problem of Vishalakram, because it's no human contact. It certainly is, yeah. And Rabbi Yochanan is Azar. Ki Azar Rav Dimi Omar. When Rav Dimi came, he said, no, that's not it. The way you have it is you have two separate machlokas, and one that has Chizkiya being Mati, and one that has Bar Kapara being Mati. But what actually happened is that Chizkiya and Bar Kapara were two against one against Rabbi Yochanan and both of the Ishailas. They both held the Kula in both issues. And the way I say it is that Echad Dag Maliyah, Echad Beitzat Luyah, whatever the problem was, Chizkiya and Bar Kapara were Matir, and Rabbi Yochanan Aser. So what happened once, Rapia Parva, was he was visiting the Reish Galusa. You know, the Reish Galusa had these servants that were always looking for Kula. They had the vast, it wasn't computerized in those days, but they had this heart system of everybody who had Kula. And they would collect these Kulas. And they did not like people who undid any of their Kulas. So he was visiting the Reish Galusa. They said to him, tell us, what's the business with the Beitzat Shluya? We have problems in the kitchen or not. And he said, no, there's no problem because Chizkiya and Bar Kapora are Mati and Rabbi Yochanan Hasser. And it's two against one. Vein Dvarav Shalachad, Mavakam Shnayim. Now, Rav Zvid was there, and Rav Zvid said, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Lo tatzitu le'achem Rabaye. I'll have you know that Rabaye says in this issue that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, this did not get the teacher that very happy. And what they did is the next time Rav Zvid wanted something to drink, they poisoned the drink and they filled it up with vinegar. It was murderous. Ashkui and Aguta the Kalav and Noch Navshe. That was the end of Rav Zvi. You didn't come into the Reish Galusa's house with Kumras if you wanted to get out of line. Son Rabbanan. It was wild. Yes. Son Rabbanan. Hakafrisin vahakaplutot vahamitalia vahakamim vahaklayot shalayan mutari. So whether we're talking about kaprisin of the flower cover over the paperberry, and kaplutot are leek. Himitalia, we'll see what himitalia is later in the Gemara. Tom is just plain hot water. Kloyot, we already know, was the shot from guns. As long as it's these are all things that are not considered to be either the Nechab or Himtai, the Nadoi Lodokan Malosimer, there's no Shinui in them, Mezrachamim, which Rashi brings as well, even though that we'll remember that the Chamin was something that we discussed earlier when the Gemara's Havamina was, that it was a Diraisa from the comparison of the Torah of Mayim to Eichli. So one of the things that the Gemara was talking about, Nishana Yedeya Ur, and that was, we were Dokit, because it, said, it doesn't say anything about Ur over there. Rashi, nonetheless, here brings that as a criteria, which is very interesting, because the Gemara Lefaro was Dokit. You see, according to Rashi, all of the things that the Gemara had discussed as possible solutions to the Hekesh of Mayim to Oakland stand because of the Rabbanan, not because of the Mashmahut, so that even though it's only an Esmach, but those are the things that we understood as being innate in the Esmach, which means that he adds to the list of requirements something to be Usur in Bishalakum, is that it should also be Nishana Ayameya Ur. You could have said, you don't need this, because Mayim anyway is Nechal Kamoshul Chai, so what's the difference? You see that Rashi is trying to say that it's Bichlal not called a Bishal. And there's a more fundamental issue over here. Chamin is not Bishalakum because it wasn't Nizbasha, because it wasn't Nishaneh. Had it been Nizbasha, fine, I would have come and told you the next issue. But the next issue is that it can't be Nechal Kamoshul Chai if it's going to be us. Okay, but Lamaisa, the original approach that Gemara had is that that's not called Bishalakum because there's no Shinui. Remains. Isn't it there very much Lalocha? Whether this is the criterion or not. Or will we doka that and come now only with two sets of Rav's criteria that we mentioned after? Shemen, as far as the oil from Goyim, we already know what happened to that. Rabbi Yudah Anasi Beitinu, when Nimnu Alavi Tiru. As far as the Himatalia is concerned, we'll get into that a little bit. Tanya, the bright explains what Himatalia is. Himatalia became known as Pashalia, and in our days, it's Shiata. Well, that's great. What's Shiata? My Shiata, I mean. Amar Rabba Barbachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Well, it's been 40 years now. The Nafekayu, the Mimitrayim, since we got the ingredients for making a good Shiata out of Egypt. Actually, Rabba Barbachan himself, when he said over the story, he said it's been 60 years, not 40 years. Which, of course, is not a problem, because it was 20 years later that he said it. Well, Plige Mar Bishnei, is what was referring to his time. In any event, what they said was, the way you make this up is, you're Maisa Bizra the Karpasa. What better time to bring Karpa seeds? Mm-hmm. So you've got these Karpa seeds, and Bizra the Kitan, you've got these seeds of the flax. Bizra the Shavlilta, and you also get fenugreek seeds, the Shiltan. And the Tarle Bade Adari the Pshure. Now you mix these together in a warm water. Vishavkulay Adimakbil, you leave them there until they begin to sprout. And then, you bring a brand new container. Fill it up with water. Now, soak the clay dirt in there. And then, you take the mixture of the seeds that you had, you stick it onto the edges of the container when the dirt has dried on, you see. And this stuff is going to very rapidly flower. And you go into, after you do this, you go directly into the bathhouse. Remember, these are coolers, what we call coolers. And they have that cooler. You take the jets, come out of the bath. You need to get cooled off. So you iron the bebani, you get into that bath. And enough, by the time you get out of the bath, you'll find that these things are malav of him already. It's unbelievable. In that hour, they were malav lev, and you eat it. And you eat it, the kara be not the reshaira tufa the kara. You get chilled from the tips of the hair on your head to the tips of your nails on your toes, and that's a way to get a real cooling job. Omer Avashi, Omer Le Rebbe Chanina told me mealing. That's a bunch of garbage. How did something grow that fast in the hour that you went into? You know, anything that sounds New Agey, you guys are ready to jump on it, and that's it. And just a bunch of words. Well, I'm real. Others say what he said was be mealing. Well, the only way to do that would be to have Harry Potter do it with some kind of incantation, because it's certainly not going to grow naturally. So don't give me that stuff. Tana Rabbanan, Hakusvan Shalotek Ochavim, Shulchamu Chamim Biorek Dolat, Sur Biorek Tana Mutar. You know what they would do is they would take the remnants of beer. Of course, they used to make beer out of dates. So after pouring off, filtering out all the water for the beer part, they were left with this mixture of date parts in the bottom. Those things could be cooked and made a very nice kind of thin kind of thing. And if the goyim cooked it, it would depend if it was cooked in a large container or a small container. Why? Well, if you see how we define a small container, you'll see why. In Zoe Yorak Tana, what do we mean by a small container? What it means is that it's basically shaped like a Coke bottle, that you can't get a small bird through the top of the bottle, and therefore, what could the guy have cooked in this that's going to be treif anyway? So there wouldn't have been anything draped in it. So why can't you use the guy's pot? You can't get it. Why couldn't you have chopped up the bird? I mean, Dilma Adwi Admur the Aizua. I mean, what kind of rye is that? No. We mean Elikosha in Rosh Tipor Draw Yacholi Kanez Batocha. It's so small, you can't even get the head of the bird in it. So then for sure there's not a problem of tarfus in it. But Tanya, how do you claim that? Look, Asher. How command Yomar no same time of Gamasur? How command Yomar no same time of Gamutar? And we already saw that no same time of Gamas Mutar. We're going to see more of that now. These were all the riots that I brought earlier, which brings again here that we paskin that no same time of Gamas Mutar. And furthermore, that we paskin that Dam Kalim are considered to be no same time of Gamas. In other words, unless we have reason to assume that something was used in the past day, and according to Rashi, he's all over. He compares the din of no same time of Gamas to the din of Notar. That's why we always call Notar Nitana Zurato. It was ruined already. There's no same time with Gam, and that's defined by an overnight day, not a 24-hour day. So Rashi is Makil, and he doesn't need 24 hours. Long stayed overnight. And the assumption is that if you're using a Kli, the Kli wasn't used today. Derek is using it one day. I'm going to take it out today. So this is today's usage. And it's already 99% of the time it's no time with Gam. What do I have to worry about it's being traced? So the man, I can use it even though a Goy cooked it in his meat pot. What's the difference? By now, the time of it is not good. And Mamela, Bidiyavad, it would be kosher. So once you already cooked it, I can buy it from it. You'll usually know about it. Yeah, that's for other reasons, because of questions that I'm doing. Oh, I'm sure you're not supposed to do that. So therefore, and Rav Sheshit says something that seems not like this, and look at the reaction. Even though maybe Rav Yudin Zia was Matir Shemin of Goyin, but certainly not cooked oil, Omer of Sefer, why not? What's wrong with cooked oil? I mean, my nechusha, what's your kasha? Imichum miyaruze. What, you're afraid that they put in wine into the oil? Sorry, that ruins the oil, turns it rancid. Imichum mishalakum. I mean, you certainly don't need to cook oil in order to eat it. It's nechakamoshu chai. It can be eaten raw just as well. Imichum giuleakum. You're worried about the pots and that it probably absorbs the taste of tarpus in it. It's no sintam of gam, umutter. Again, the Gemara is assuming that no sintam of gam is mutter. Another one of Tosis is right. Well, my name is Rabbi Yossi. By the way, I just want you to know that Tosis is Mechale. That there may be places where you'll find Nesam Gam Mutter, which, and nonetheless, it'll say Nesam Gam in case like this is Usher, because there's two types of Nesam Gam. There's a Nesam Gam where the Me'ikara, the thing that has been cooked, is viewed as a Tam Pagum. And over there, everybody's mother than Nesam Gam is Mutter. Mm-hmm. Our questions over here were Lechatchila, it was a proper taste. Like we have the case of Achbara B'Shichra, in the case of Gemara, where a mouse falls into Shecha. Over there, the initial Tam of Israel, the mouse is Pagum. But then you can have a good taste, which becomes Pagum because it stays overnight. That's already a Shaila, whether a Tam Meshevach would stay overnight, or in our turn, 24 hours, whether that's Beza Tam of Gam. That Lamaite, the Tosas also said both are Mutter, but that there are more Kulas than the Nosi Tam of Gam Mi'ikara. So, in any event, over here, it could be that it's a combination of both issues. In other words, first of all, and actually, he brings in the Rabbi Natam and the Reed, the reason we're not Chayish for the Goy's cooking is because it's X-ray. First of all, we don't know what he uses. We may have used it as something that's considered to be Pogum Milosatila, as far as we're concerned. And then, even if it wasn't, then if it stayed overnight, it would be nice to come up come anyway. So, the Mela, we're Matzer based on that. We don't even consider it to be a Chashash. Now, Bo Mine Mirabati. How about Hani Ahine Shli de Amoy? How about the Goyim that they cook up these dates? What's the din over there? My. Well, Kuli, I mean, if there's sweet dates, of course, you can eat dates raw. What would be the Shaila? It's Nehal Chai. So, if it's sweet dates, Loki Berlacha, the Vale Shor, of course, it's Mutter. If they're Mariri, if the kind of date that can't be eaten unless they're cooked. So Loki Berlacha, the Vale Asiri. I mean, why is that different than anything else? Kiti Berlacha Mitziai Mai. The question is things that people do eat sometimes raw but prefer to eat cooked. So Amalahu, Mighty Berlacha. I tell you that my Rebbe answered it. When I say my Rebbe, who is my Rebbe? Manu, that's Levi. Shita'a, and we're going to see what the way that this is made, but Shita'a, which was a type of, they would use various types of klayot, either puff wheat, or they would use like a puff lentil, and then they would grind that up and mix it with, sometimes they would mix it with wine vinegar, and then there would be a problem of yayinessa. So there, Rav was matir, and Shmuel and Levi aser. Now the truth is, if it's the type of shtita that was made with chitim and zahorim, then everybody agrees. That's definitely mutter, because you never put in vinegar in there. It has the right level of sweetness as it is. You don't want to make it soury by adding vinegar. But kala. Now, if you made it out of the puffed lentil, which over there does definitely require vinegar in it, it's extremely sweet. Also, if you know for a fact it was made with vinegar, he pleaded the talati to Maya. Your problem would only be where you know it wasn't made with vinegar. And the question is whether do we answer shita, lentil-based shita, because of the way that sometimes it's made with vinegar, or do we say, no, look, you find out the ingredients. If it's made with vinegar, it's always made with water, it's mutter. And that's the maslokas. Marsha v'gazrina na'atua, or marsha v'lo gazrina. That's the way, anyway, one approach was to the maslokas. Ayika the amre, there was another approach to the maslokas that read that if it was made with water, kuleyamalo pligid to answer. Everybody is for sure going to answer it, even though it's made with water, because of the kashash that people would confuse it with vinegar. So if any of talfakhi would be also ki pligid, the chiti v'sa'ari. The question is whether you go so far as to be gozer that people don't know the difference between a shatita that's lentil-based or shatita that's based on wheat or on barley. Marsover gazvina na atua, marsover lo gazvina. This is much more modern. Omarab train minishtita shadar bazilai agiladila David. You want to take a look in the Torah, there's some remez to the two types of shita. Because when David was running away from Avshalom, so it says that Barzilai agiladi sent David, and here we have the interesting moker for the word pouch in modern Hebrew, tapa, which is not the way most of the portion understand the word in the pasuk. As it says that by Zilai Adiladi, sent to David Mishkav Visapot. Now, can't you just imagine the Chamorim coming out on into the midbar, and they've got these big cathedral pouches on their back, because after all, they wanted David to be very comfortable, you know. But anyway, this is how the Academia understood. So the Sapot would mean together with the Mishkav. So they were not only Sapot, but they were sleeping Sapot. They had big convertibles. You could open them up. Lamayla Sapot really are a lotion of Shlashomrei Hazav. They were kitchen utensils. And then you like bowls and, you know, things that he needed. And he put together these with clay yotzer, chitim, sorim. Take a look at this strange thing. Chitim, sorim, the kemach, the kali, right? And then it says, pol v'adashim, and it repeats kali. But I thought he already sent kali. A kali, of course, are the ingredients for shadita. That's the shot from gun stuff. And so you see clearly that there were two different types of kali. There was the kali that was referring back to the chitim v'sa'orim, just like we said here. And there was kali that was referring back to the adashim, which is the talfachi type kali. And that is also. And you know what? Nowadays, you'll notice that nowadays they market this off by the barrelful. They're selling it all over the street. You never see anybody who's makbid not to buy it. Nobody is choshesh al chumas of avu v'shmuel levi on this, and all the shtitas on the market, everybody assumes that everybody eats that. Everybody eats it. So what's the problem?